about the works of the Holy Spirit. Before we go there, let's see, we got to need somebody to run that mic, I guess. Who wants to be a mic runner? Okay. So let's just name off some of the works of the Holy Spirit and see if you get the free. I'm going to talk about them. Volunteers, works of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Christian's life. Raise your hand. He'll come to whoever the first one gets it.
Convicts of sin.
Okay. Convicts of sin. Yep.
He gives comfort. He teaches us. I'll stop there.
Comforter.
Leave some for others.
Okay. So you got one right there.
He teaches us not to be afraid.
Teacher. What else?
Praise for us.
Say it again.
He prays for us.
Prays for us. Over here.
Illuminates God's word.
Illuminates God's word. Yeah.
Sanctify us.
What?
Sanctify us.
Sanctifies us.
He also convicts of righteousness and judgment.
Righteousness. Anybody else? You almost got them all. Okay, let's start. Y'all found your place? John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11 will be our main verse. So in the context, what do we have here? John 16, 7 through 11. Let's read it first and then we'll go back through it. But I tell you the truth, it is your advantage, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, I name that, shall not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So, Jesus at this time is, they're taking the Passover meal, the initiation of the Lord's Supper there with his disciples, and this is part of the context that's happening during this time. He's preparing his disciples to realize that he's going to be going away, and that where he goes, they cannot go with him. So he's going to begin to comfort them, and he's going to tell them about the promised Holy Spirit. So, let's go to the first verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I go away, the Helper shall not, for if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. The Holy Spirit would come and did come and lives in every believer. The Holy Spirit works through the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he works through the Christians. When he talks about conviction of sin, It began almost right away at Pentecost through the apostles. They started preaching. And so the conviction of sin, and we'll look at that sermon, exactly how that played out there. But the Holy Spirit uses, and God uses means, and the means in this case is the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit uses the body of Christ to glorify Christ and be a witness to a lost world. And he said, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. This word convict can be seen as a rebuke, a reproving, a proof. It means, it can mean as bringing light to something, to reprove it, to prove it right or wrong. So this is the sense of this conviction is said here. Some translations say convict, some say rebuke. But it's bringing into the light. It's a legal word. To bring light, to expose, to refute, or to convict, or convince. So he says, convict the world. And the world here is the world, the material world. Okay? Then the next verse, 9. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. The primary sin is of unbelief. And the capstone of sin is not to believe in the Son of God. Not to believe in the Savior, the only one that can save you. To not believe in him is the ultimate sin, because without that you can have, if you don't believe in him, you will not be saved. So it's the worst sin of all sin. Let's look at John 3:18 to 3:21. We're all familiar with this. I want to show you what it says, that they did not believe in him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe, and I'm talking about Christ, has been judged already. Why? He's been judged already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Back to that verse concerning sin, because they did not believe in me, Jesus, the only Son of God. This is the conviction. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, and their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested and as having been wrought in God. So we see this sin is a sin of unbelief. And the Holy Spirit convicts the world of unbelief. He does it through his people. He does it through his word. He does it by the Holy Spirit using his means. Verse 10. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. Concerning righteousness. Conviction of righteousness because I go to the Father. The Savior claimed to be the righteous one from God, the Son of God. But the men said he had a demon. They said he was a blasphemer. They said he was a friend of sinners, tax collector. But the Father would accept him, has accepted him as the perfect sacrifice. The righteous one who lived the perfect life, who was raised from the dead, and is now at the right hand of the Father in heaven as our advocate. He defeated death and Satan in the grave, and he rules forevermore. This righteous one, the one they claimed was not righteous, he's now at the right hand of the Father. He's been accepted. He's been approved, and he's been proven righteous. And man and the world have been proven wrong about Christ. Verse 11, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. The ruler of this world has been judged. A judgment because the prince of this world is judged. This is not to be understood, and this is Gill speaking in his commentary. This is not to be understood of the judiciary power and authority of Christ, who has all judgment committed to him by the Father as a mediator, has all power in heaven and in earth, and as he is appointed, so he is a very fit person to judge the world at the last day. Now, this being disputed by the Jews and disbelieved by the Jews, the Holy Ghost and his ministry by Peter at Pentecost, right, most clearly demonstrated to their full conviction, talking about the Jews, that he was raised from the dead, set upon the throne, and was made or declared the Lord and the Christ. Go to Acts 2:14. I'm going to show you where the Holy Spirit begins right away convicting the world of these three things. But Peter, taking a stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. And the background of this is Pentecost, and these men are speaking in unknown tongues, tongues that were other languages that some of the people understood there, but it wasn't their native language. And some of the people accused them of being drunk. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, he's being a witness, the man delivered up by his predetermined plan, by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up. God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. He had power over death. He defeated death. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not be abandoned my soul to Hades, nor allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me and the ways of life, Thou wilt make me full of gladness in that with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seek one of his descendants upon this his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Jesus of Christ, and he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth with this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make thy enemy a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. Man, imagine being that elegant. Being some of those Jews who actually were part of it. But yet, everyone has sinned. He died for us, didn't he? Lost those who believe in him. And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, hallelujah, and for all who are off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified, the Holy Spirit testifying through his apostles, the witnesses, testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Generation hasn't changed, has it? Still the same. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. You see the being the witness coming about almost instantaneously when the Holy Spirit comes. God using his apostles, convicting the very people that had been there at the cross. Some of them we believe are saved. What amazing grace. When a lost sinner is truly under conviction, he will see the folly and the evil of this unbelief. He will confess that he does not measure up to the righteousness of Christ. And the devil, he will not see that he has not measured up to the righteousness of Christ, and he will realize that he's under condemnation, he belongs to the world and the devil. The only person who can rescue him from such a horrible situation is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There can be no conversion without conviction. And there can be no conviction apart from the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And it says, using the Word of God and the witness of the child of God. So we need all those. We need to be a witness. We need to be used by the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about the Holy Spirit and how we see him in Scripture. And how serious it is to obey the Spirit. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They lied to who? Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in us to bring us thanks to The Holy Spirit is working us to bring about the conviction and righteousness, judgment to the whole world. So He doesn't operate in a vacuum. He uses His people. We need to be available. We need to be obedient. We need the Holy Spirit to be working. Are you obedient to this Holy Spirit? Has He whispered anything to you recently or in the past? Did not do. He has to me. Do you settle that? Do you listen to that small voice? Do you obey what He's doing? Just going to give you a couple of my examples. You probably heard them before, but right after I got saved, I went to a restaurant in Pleasanton, working there. Like lunchtime, I had these three great big old cowboys, and I was bigger, so somebody who maybe bigger, had the cowboy hats, and they were just talking and laughing and making jokes and stuff. I'd been a Christian about, I think, like a few days. I was just happy and bored and wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. On the abortion clinics, holding up signs. Just thought everybody would want to be saved and have what I had. The Holy Spirit, I believe, whispered to me, go, and I think I had a tract. He said, go give these guys a tract. Tell them about it. I thought to myself, I said, you know, probably did better this. He wants me to go over there and make a fool of myself, and then I'll never do it. Probably what it is. And I believe that. At least long enough to get out of it. And you know, even to the day, that was in 1988. Still, I can tell you where the restaurant is. I can almost tell you what it is. I don't know. The Lord is sovereign, right? And He don't need me to save anybody. But I know, I believe that I missed my opportunity to be obedient to Him. And you know what? He gives us second chances and third chances and fourth chances. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can even have a seared conscience and keep doing it wrong. Later on, I realized, hey, the devil would never ask me to be a witness. So now I think I could pick up on that. Have that. And sometimes the Holy Spirit works slowly, convicts us, and sometimes almost immediately. I had a friend, I had a man teaching Sunday school class together with this guy in youth, and he was a Christian, I was a Christian, really young Christian, and we're teaching this youth group. We've been working about 6 weeks going through this particular training and leading up to salvation. There's something that we were going to do, and it seemed like He just turned it upside down and blew the whole thing. So as the class was over, we was walking out, I just jumped on and said, hey, you just... And I was at the top of a two-story building. There's probably only 20 steps five to the first part and something. The Holy Spirit jumped on me so bad that by the time He got to the bottom of that step, that last one, I was down there waiting for Him. I apologized. That's the end of it. And so the Holy Spirit faithful. And that man to this day is one of my best friends, good friends. He's dying of it. Or he could be dying of it. Pray for Him. I love Him dearly. The Holy Spirit is so kind. But we do want to be obedient to Him. We have to be obedient. We want to accomplish. Absolutely. If we want to be good and faithful, down any comments or anything. I know it's short. Apologize for that. Any questions, comments? And I'm going to close. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you tonight. I know much. I pray your Holy Spirit will move, Lord, and convict us of the ones that are guilty of it, being insensitive, not obeying the right way, Lord. We know you want us to be instant. Sometimes we're Lord, I know sometimes we don't really know if it's you or not. You're gracious. Loving God. Lord, I help, I pray with you. Lord, reveal sin to us. Help us. Help us to confess it. Help us to have our accounts straight with each other, Lord. We have good unity here, Lord, but we have to work on it. We need your help, Lord. You might get all the people. You would have faith in us. Thank you, yes, faith. Thank you that we have fellowship with you. You have chosen us to serve you. So whatever the service is,